Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Third and final hour here on this Wednesday morning. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Mike and Pete cross the way bogish with your updates as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Coming your way about 20-plus minutes from now, we're going to chat with Charlie Ward, Heisman Trophy winner, Florida State quarterback. We know that NBA player. And a point guard with the Knicks in the NBA as well, doing some great things with the Charlie Ward Foundation. We'll get into all that, talk a little bit about Kyler Murray and catch up with Charlie a little bit too. So look forward to that. Let's kick off this third and final hour. Let's get to it, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Manny Machado signs a 10-year, $300 million deal with the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, so much for the market not being right, huh, Taz? I mean, he gets the money he's looking for. It's not a short-term deal. He didn't sign with the Yankees. He maximized his value, 26 years of age. He wanted to get 10 years, $300 million. We know he hurt his value, turned some teams off with some of his comments last year when he was a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers in terms of his lack of hustle and certainly some of his behavior on the baseball diamond as well. But eventually he gets the deal that he's looking for, and it's 10, it's 300, it's all guaranteed, and he's a member of the NL West and the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, it's massive. I mean, massive, massive deal, and we talked a ton about this earlier, so anybody who wants to kind of catch up on the whole convo, download the podcast at radio.com on the app or the website or at the Apple Podcasts. So wherever you get your podcast, it's free every day. So, you know, we do a lot of content out here, 3 hours per day, so you can't listen to everything live probably, so check it out there. Regardless, this is a massive, massive deal, Moose, as we've been discussing. And I personally think it's a perfect spot for Manny Machado because, you know, we've talked a lot about the narrative on him, that overview, and a comment about he don't hustle, he's not exactly Charlie Hustle and all this jazz. So if, hypothetically, he was in a Chicago, or if he was in New York playing for the White Sox or playing for the Yankees, respectively, you know, how would the fan base react? I'm asking this rhetorically. You know, the Chicago fan base of the White Sox or the Yankee fan base. Well, if he wasn't hustling or running out of ground ball or something like that, or yeah, if he was dogging it, something like that, the fan base would go berserk. Any little thing, they'd wait for Manny Machado to get on him for the millions and millions of dollars and for not hustling. Out in San Diego, that's probably not going to be the case. It's a whole different style, different type of fan base out there. No knock on the folks out in the West Coast. Love them, okay? Love that city, too. But I think this is a perfect spot for him because if he has any of his shortcomings, character stuff, like being on the field and not hustling, Machado, that's a better spot than New York or Chicago.
Yeah, and Taz, there's no pressure to win. Correct. He does not step into a scenario. The number for in Vegas for their over-under numbers, if you should partake in that every year, was 76.5 before the signing of Manny Machado. Afterward, it was 78.5. So they only went up two wins after adding a guy that many believe is well on his way to being a Hall of Famer at 26 years of age. So for the San Diego Padres, there's a scenario where he steps into a situation, Taz, where he does not have the weight in the world to perform right away and to be the finishing piece to a championship team. They continue their rebuild, and the Padres in San Diego, the city of San Diego, as their lone professional of the four majors, their lone professional team.
Right.
After last year bringing in Eric Hosmer, this year they bring in Manny Machado at $300 million. And there were even some reports afterward that saying they're not done.
No.
You know, that no. that they've only got $110 million in committed payroll for 2019, that they might not close the door on Bryce Harper. I mean, think about that if you're a San Diego Padre fan. Or they might bring in Craig Kimbrell, a former San Diego Padre. So If you're a Padre fan, yesterday you had to be fired up. If you're a baseball fan, if you're Rob Manfred, you got to be excited because you see a lower market team spend big on a big time free agent, Taz, and finally you get one of these guys to sign.
Yeah, and
that story starts to come to an end.
And we talked a lot about about the White Sox and how the White Sox were bitter. We played some sound. I'll show we'll play in a second. The White Sox are upset over this happening because they felt like what they offered like an 8-year deal somewhere around $340 million.
Well, it could be. It was 8 for 250. There was $90 million in incentives.
Oh, okay. Instead of my bed.
So it was guaranteed 250, but the deal could have been worth
$340
million.
Incentives goes to 340. Okay, gotcha. Cool. Okay, so he wanted the guarantee, which I respect. You know, and we had a caller earlier and say, well, where would you rather live, you know, in San Diego or Chicago? I understand that, and that's no disrespect to the great people in Chicago and the Chicago suburbs. There's beautiful areas there. I understand it's a different type of temperature, and I get it. All year round, you get the great weather in San Diego and all that. But you just said about the Padres that they're probably not done here because they got some coin, you know, still left. They also got the number one farm system in baseball.
Yes.
Okay, so they got a lot of assets there. They got that kid Tatis, that shortstop, who's a great, great player. He's a number one tier guy. So they got some great players, man, sitting, waiting. Padres could be building themselves a dynasty over the next couple of years here.
You referenced it. Here is Kenny Williams, the vice president of the Chicago White Sox, after Machado agreed to sign in San Diego.
Wearing my shades so that you guys don't see the shock in my eyes.
Very surprised. There are a few other words that you could put on that, but still a little bit of disbelief. You know, the one thing that I can say, and I just told Rick this not long ago, and I will tell Jerry and our coaching staff and our players, I feel we put our best foot forward, and Jerry in particular really, really stepped up. If the offer that I'm seeing or the acceptance of the offer that I'm seeing is true, then actually our offer had the opportunity for Manny to surpass that.
Because he's at the beach. No, he's
right.
At the spring training. and you know, you could tell by his voice, somber Sam Jones.
Bothered.
Yeah, you could tell.
Well, they had his workout partner in the offseason, Taz. They had one of his best family members. I mean, the White Sox had a couple players that they thought would make it an easier transition for Machado this offseason. To come and sign with the Chicago White Sox. You know Reinsdorf is 82 years of age. He said, let's go all in. Let's try and get ourselves a big-time player. And Machado said, thanks, but no thanks. For whatever reason, and he is. I mean, that's why you can make the decision you make. He took more guaranteed money in San Diego as compared to the opportunity to earn more money in Chicago.
Yeah.
So,
next.
Now we'll see what Harper does. Next.
Yeah, I thought we're going next.
Number two.
Antonio Brown meets with Steelers owner Art Rooney.
And they've come to the agreement. It's time to part ways. The Steelers are done with Brown. Brown is done with the Steelers. Brown has made it perfectly clear. I mean, how many times, Taz, have we said it?
Let it happen already. Yeah.
Well, right. I agree with you there. I think a lot of people agree with that. If there was any doubt, Antonio Brown believed into let's burn all relationships that I've had in Pittsburgh, aside from thanking the fans and with my behavior, to make it next to impossible to see a path through it. And that's basically what he's done on social media, whether it be the interview that never happened with James Harrison, whether it be the Twitter stuff, you know, calling out other guys like Emmanuel Sanders, whether it be having a thin skin to the criticism to Bruce Arians, whether it be the conversation in which he said, you know, Roethlisberger's got more of a management attitude, but we're all good, whether it be the stuff on the elliptical machine the other day. Okay. I mean, Taz, you go down the line. I mean, Antonio Brown has done a wonderful job continuing to grab attention, but he's also done a wonderful job of ending any sort of relationship with the Steelers organization, even after meeting with Rooney yesterday.
Publicly kicking the team, you know, below the belt, you know, that basically gave you the opportunity. You know, you didn't exactly come out of, you know, university, you know, come out of Alabama football or come out of, like, you know, one of the top, you know, coming out of Georgia. I think he went to, like, Central Michigan or one, no disrespect to them, but I'm saying he wasn't, like, coming out of a massive big time, top three college program. And the Steelers took a shot at him. They saw the talent in him. He's done a great job. You don't kick these guys. You don't kick that organization below the belt like that. You don't do that. You don't kick him in the yam bag. It's class. It's not right. And he's been doing it. I understand he's disgruntled and he wants out of there. But he's been doing this now for, it seems like, I'm exaggerating. Oh, it seems like for months.
But throughout the playoffs,
it's just been. Didn't he do something too on social media? What the heck was that? We talked about James Harrison during the press conference.
Yeah, I mentioned it.
You did mention it, yeah. There was so many. There was a litany of things you mentioned.
That was when Tomlin was doing his
wrap up. That's right. You did say that.
And Harrison, I didn't say that, but that's when he was doing it. And he and James Harrison, from what looks like Harrison's kitchen or Brown's kitchen, remember, hopped on and said they were mocking Tomlin as Tomlin was doing his end-of-the-year presser.
To him, Harrison and AB just got done doing chest.
Yes.
Big chest challenge.
I mean, he's such a clown.
Yeah, really, it's enough.
And Taz, I know he's a wonderful player, and he'll be on another team, and he'll be catching touchdowns, and he'll be a fantasy stud and all that. I would not want Antonio Brown on my team. I just wouldn't.
No,
If I'm a general manager, I would not bring him aboard. Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe it's the Packers. Right. Somebody will take that gamble and they'll say it's worth it because we believe that he's going to make a big time difference to our offense. If I was one of these teams that got a young quarterback, the Bills, the Jets,
you'd panic. You'd worry.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm the same way.
No.
That's how I feel about it if he went to the Bills, because Josh Allen's got a little bit of an edge to him as it is. See, he's kind of an outspoken guy. He don't take no S. And now I think he would get even more. His confidence would be even higher in a negative way on social media because Antonio Brown would help that. That's just one example, in my opinion. But like I said earlier, I do believe for 1 year he'll be on his best behavior, whatever team he goes to. I do think he needs to be playing under a coach that's not going to take no mess. A guy, whatever, like a Belichick, but there's not a lot of those guys left. You know, like if he's playing under one of these young coaches, you know, imagine playing under, I don't know, Cliff Kingsbury. You can listen to Kingsbury. Yeah. You're going to listen to what's his name with the Bengals, the kid that played quarterback in Nebraska? I'm drawing a blank on his name. The new head coach.
Zach Taylor.
Okay, he's going to listen to these guys. He's going to do what he wants, bro. No,
he's got to be an established guy. We'll see where he ends up. A lot of people would put him in Green Bay or thought that, you know, the Packers have some interest. You have Brown and Devontae Adams on the outside for an older quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Now, that's a scenario. Even though you've got LaFleur, a young head coach, Taz, that's Rodgers' team.
Well, Aaron Rodgers is the boss there. You're right. And he's correct. They respect each other, you have to assume.
And Rodgers will get him the football.
Yeah, he will. But, I could see him. I could see Antonio Brown respecting Aaron Rodgers. That I could see.
Number three.
C.J. Anderson addresses Todd Gurley injury.
Yeah, so as we all speculated for the most part during the time,
except
the lack,
that's the exception.
But you even came around, Taz.
I did come around.
After the Super Bowl, you're like, listen, he was hurt.
It made no sense.
He's sitting on the sideline for like play after play after play. Anderson did get specific, did say he thought it was the same knee, but when he was brought aboard, that Gurley was more hurt than they originally thought. He speculated that maybe it was a knee sprain. I mean, the Rams basically told everybody and their mother that he was healthy going into the Super Bowl, that he was going to be used, that he was going to be the main running back, Taz, and he wasn't. So now we've got a little bit of clarity. The Rams haven't said it. Gurley hasn't said anything. McVay hasn't said anything. But there's C.J. Anderson yesterday giving a little clarification saying, listen, Gurley was hurt.
Yeah. I'm surprised that it's got to be C.J. Anderson that says this like that.
That's fair.
You know, I really.
But once the Rams go down the path, as we mentioned earlier, Taz, once the Rams go on down the path and say that he's healthy and that he's going to be used a ton, they can't then walk that back after the game.
I know.
Because then they'd face, especially in the Super Bowl, Taz, they'd face a massive fine.
Yeah, I just, you know, think about it. They should have been honest, though. You know, it's unfair. If you're a Rams fan, you got to be a little, like, you know, after the Super Bowl or after the NFC Championship, tell me something. Like I was saying earlier, going into that Super Bowl week, the Rams were all in. They were the whole narrative was that this guy here, Gurley, is going to be running the rock. He's getting tons of burn. You saw Gurley was tweeting, I love this team, all this stuff. You know, it seemed like he was in a positive mental attitude. Yep. you know, all that jazz. And I understand what you're saying, gamesmanship, what you said earlier. And you're totally right. I know that, and I agree with you. You know, but, you know this as well as I do. You're not going to fool, you know, Belichick and Flores. These guys, were ready for CJ. They were ready for Gurley. But I understand what you mean.
Yeah,
I do.
But you make it easier for them to prepare.
Right.
If you come out and say, listen, Gurley is 60, 40%, 50%.
Right.
He's going to be limited in the Super Bowl. Make it a little bit easier for them to prepare. They're going to cross the T's, dot the I's. It's the Super Bowl. I get it. It's not a regular season game.
But
you're going to do that. Listen, any way you cut it, if Goff played better, that's a different game.
But he played terribly in the game. But one more thing I want to say about Gurley. Like I said earlier, in case someone's just joining us now, this is where I'm still a little just perplexed about this injury or not injured or whatever with Todd Gurley during those games. The NFC title game and the freaking Super Bowl. There was nobody near him, man. It was as much as we could see. There was no trainers and doctors. He wasn't in the tent. He wasn't in the locker room. He was just hanging on the sideline, like, not playing. And, like, this guy is your top offensive. Well, I think we discussed this.
Oh, true.
He's your top offensive player. You would think that medical staff, training staff would be around him, talking to him, doing something, get him on the bike. Get him in the locker room. Do some electric stim on him. Do something. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Taz, there are some injuries that there's nothing. I mean, it is what it is.
That's true. I've seen that happen with my son.
Yeah, that's true. There's nothing.
They just, you know.
It is.
It's got to work itself out.
Yeah, right.
It's happened to my kid. You're right.
So,
with a hamstring. I know what you mean.
So it's a case of where no matter what they do or have a conversation or ice or, you know.
That happened to my son last year. He had a hammy. And
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, and during the week, it was everything. He was getting iced up, stim, this, that, doing some drills and everything. Well, all over him. And during games, you know, he wasn't getting burned. And it's like, I'm like, dude, why is nobody, like, around you? He's like, Dad, nothing they can do.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I mean, I'm just, I just can't, I can't explode off my, I just got to heal.
Yeah.
So, you know,
and
he's not Todd Gurley.
Yeah. But I know what you mean. And that's the point. If it was, as Anderson speculated, if it's a knee sprain, it's a knee sprain. I mean, there's only so much you can do. Now, we got a little bit of clarity on that now. Does that do anything if you're a Ram fan? I guess. I mean, get a little bit more of an explanation about why the lack of use with Gurley. Coming up straight ahead, Charlie Ward is going to join us. So we've got an interesting poll as well to react to.
Yeah, not something from our show either. Oh, yes.
It's Taz and the Moose.
Turn it up, baby.
On a Wednesday morning.
Turn it up.
CBS Sports Radio.
Yes. Well, you know, Moose, basically, the right hire can really make an impact on your business. You know, I talk a lot about a lot of my friends that own businesses, and a friend of mine who owns a bicycle shop, sells bicycles. He's always looking for the right people that know about mountain bikes and racing bikes that can help customers understand what they're purchasing, an expensive bike. Well, he doesn't go to job boards to post the jobs. No, you can post the job boards and hope you'll find the right person for your job. But think about it. How often do you check job boards? 9 out of 10 LinkedIn members are open to new opportunities, and yet most are not visiting job boards. So you can only reach them on LinkedIn. LinkedIn jobs intelligently targets potential candidates based on insights from their behavior on LinkedIn and rich profile data you can't find on a resume, guys. Like their skills, recommendations, interests, even how open they are to new opportunities just like yours. So your job gets in front of the right people. That's why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. LinkedIn, it's the best way to find a person who will help you grow your business. Hurry to LinkedIn.com/Taz. That's LinkedIn.com/TAZ. Get $50 off your first job post right now. That's LinkedIn.com/Taz to save $50. LinkedIn.com/TAZ. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, join CBS on the road to the Final Four. Bilotti's locked in with great NCAA basketball this weekend. Saturday at 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific, Auburn heads to Lexington to take on fourth-ranked Kentucky and John Calipari, followed by number 16 Florida State versus eighth-ranked North Carolina down in Chapel Hill. Then on Sunday, Villanova tips off against Xavier at 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific. And the weekend concludes when seventh-ranked Michigan hosts number 10 Michigan State. Madness in the air on CBS.
Well, Andrew Bogus is here to do his update.
He is.
So, you know, so some folks might not know on social media there's been a little bit of stuff going on here, Moose, between a couple of shows. So maybe you could lay it out a little better than me, I think, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I think you do a better job than me because I get a little emotional. I get a little combustible, as you know.
Last week and on Monday, Andrew filled in for on the Boomer and Geo show.
On WFAN locally here in New York.
WFAN locally in New York. And that show put in because Recco is out today, and Lapresti, Chris Lapresti, here on CBS Sports Radio as well, and WFAN locally in New York is filling in doing updates. And the Boomer and Geo show put out a tweet and a poll who should be the replacement for Recco when he is out. Should it be A, Lapresti, or B, Bogish?
Right. So then, you know, you and I discussed this, and now we're not talking behind Andrew's back because Andrew, say hello, hi, you're here.
Hey guys,
Andrew's right here.
Hello.
So we're just trying to fill the audience in.
I'm Andrew Bogish.
So then, what happens is, you know, I of course take to Twitter and I say I think that I think it'd be great if Andrew was a permanent part of the show that you guys do, meaning at Boomer and Geo.
Yeah,
right. Reunited, so you fired me.
Hold on a second.
Twitter, right?
I don't have the ability to fire you. So reuniting Greg Giannotti and Andrew Bogish would be perfect. And of course, Andrew Bogus, he can't let anyone have the last word. That's not how he's wired. He comes back. He comes back with
and says,
"Well, do I? That mean I have to do the 8:20 update? That's AM
with you and Mark
Melusis." And then I just replied with another. So the snarkiness.
Well, I said, is Lapresti available?
So, right. And you said that, and then I said it's not my call, which it was. So we over here we talk about it, about the real AB, Antonio Brown, Big Chesty Jones, and we're worse than him. So
I mean, you're, I to be clear.
Oh, Bogish. I mean, you're openly flirting with another show while you're engaged.
You'll have to explain to me what you mean by that because they put a poll out.
And then you reacted to the poll.
Of course I did.
Yes.
Oh, you retweeted it. You were like a giddy little kid in your little cubicle. Oh, my God. Boomer Geo show tweeted. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's not I think my tweet was this seems unnecessary. Because exactly what happened is what I thought was going to happen, that CeeLo is getting 90% of the vote, and everyone's telling me how awesome he is and how bad I am. So I don't see the giddiness.
You got
a couple of nice tweets.
You got some nice tweets.
But the voting is firmly in CeeLo's favor, including a vote from
I don't give a rat's ass about the voting or the show.
It doesn't seem like that.
Why don't you take your resume and give it to them and go?
I don't understand. So here we go.
Well, we've been going.
They asked me to fill in because no one else was around, including CeeLo, who is their normal fill-in person. Then there's Erica Herskowitz. Then there's Jacob Wilkins. And for some reason, last Thursday, no one else was available.
You could slow play the hand. You don't have to.
Well said.
I mean, you can.
I have a little respect for the show that you've been part of for a long time. That's all. And it's not totally your fault here either. I will give you that.
It's not my fault at all.
Well,
even a little
your
bit.
Your reaction to it
so
is annoying.
Your point right. is one reaction to it.
All right, hold on a second. We'll get to this here.
Okay,
we got Charlie Ward on the line.
Poor Charlie Ward.
We got a Heisman Trophy winner.
And
a former New York Knick on the line with us. Does a great job with his foundation as well. And Kylan joins us here on this Wednesday morning. Good morning, Charlie. Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Charlie, what's up?
Nothing much. How are you guys doing?
Well, it was getting a little heated there. Sorry you had to be part of that.
I was going to say, it sounds like you guys are having a certain discussion.
Yeah, getting a little hot. It was getting a little hot.
You know, Charlie, I want to bring out a couple of different things. Number one, you know, when you look at Kyler Murray here, you know, a Heisman Trophy winner at Oklahoma this past season, you know, a wonderful young college quarterback, and has made the decision to pursue the National Football League. You know, you had a choice. You were a great football player, Heisman Trophy winner, Florida State national champ, and a basketball player as well. You know, you ended up choosing the NBA and playing with the Knicks. What about Murray's decision here? When you look at Kyler Murray, the college quarterback, with his size and today's game, do you think his game translates to the NFL?
First of all, he made a decision just like we all have to make decisions and you know, have to live with those decisions. So, you know, I'm grateful that he had the choice or the option of, you know, being able to play or have an opportunity to play in two major league or professional sports. So that's, you know, commendable on his part. He put himself in that position. And I guess as far as him being able to play in the NFL today, of course, the game has changed, and there are a lot of guys who have come before him that have been successful, like Baker Mayfield, Drew Brees, and Russell Wilson. Those guys just come to mind who kind of open the door for the smaller quarterbacks to be able to thrive and be successful. And so it's, you know, someone has set the precedent for him. So he has the opportunity to go in and, you know, continue to play as a smaller quarterback. The door is open for him now.
So, Charlie, would you agree that it's, as far as an offensive standpoint, for a guy like a Kyler Murray, you know, it's very important what type of system he goes in, being that, you know, we don't know his height, right? He could be 5'9", could be 5'10". They list him at 5'10", which you might assume he's 5'9". Now, for those that don't know, you, Charlie Ward, didn't have this. You were, what, 6'2"? I think you're playing height.
I'm 6 foot.
You're six foot. All right, we'll see. Okay. Well, still, you're above 6 foot. You're 6 foot. But the thing is, with Kyler Murray, do you feel that the key is which style offense would be best for him, because the way he moves, his footwork, his speed, his athleticism, he's great at throwing on the run. Do you think that's important for him to be put in the right system wherever he gets drafted?
Well, that's true for any quarterback. You can't, you know, the system has to fit the quarterback's strengths, and that's in any situation. And so I'm sure wherever he goes, they'll adapt to his strengths. And I think he's done a good job of proving that he can throw in the pocket. He can also move around and throw. And he can use his legs to, you know, get first downs and those types of things. So I don't think he's a cookie cutter when it comes to, you know, one style. You know, Drew Brees is another guy, you know, that's smaller, but he's more of a pocket passer. He can move in the pocket, work the pocket, and throw the football and do different things. Russell Wilson is, you know, very similar to Kyler because he uses legs to create plays for the offense. And, you know, he can also stand in the pocket and throw. So, that's true for anyone that comes in. You know,
right, gotcha.
Even the Haskins kid, you know, he has to be in the right system for him to be able to thrive. So I just think wherever he goes, they'll find a way to, you know, play to his strong points.
Charlie, if I take, you know, a 93 Charlie Ward, right? If I take a Heisman Trophy winning Charlie Ward, you know, helping win a national championship at Florida State, a Heisman Trophy winner, when that decision was being made for you, and put you in 2019, right? I take you in the, you know, as a young collegiate athlete. Are you making the same decision in choosing basketball over football?
It definitely made it tougher because, you know, in this day and time, you know, they're giving the six-footers legit opportunity to be a first-round draft pick. And, you know, when I came out of college, you know, my statement that I made was, you know, if I would have gotten drafted in the first round in the NFL, then, you know, I would have play football because they had the first draft. But if I wasn't going to get drafted in the first round, I wish I had a third or fourth round grade at that time, then I was going to consider my other options. And so when I knew that I was a third or fourth round pick based upon my height and arm strength and those types of things that I, you know, I proved that I could do, and my height was going to be my height, I knew that I wasn't going to be a first-round pick. It wasn't a legit opportunity. So I started to work a little bit harder, a little bit more on my basketball game so that I could, you know, have a good showing in the pre-draft camps.
Hey, Charlie, let me ask you, you know, do you think it makes it a lot harder in this day and age for athletes like a Kyler Murray to make a decision on which professional sport to play because of social media, you know, because it's everywhere, right? As you know, it's everywhere. You know, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all this stuff. And people, you know, athletes just can't make a move without some kind of scuttlebutt or buzz from somebody hearing something. Do you think that makes the decision a lot harder? Do you think it would have made it harder for you back in the day? Like, talk on that if you don't mind.
Well, social media definitely is a game changing in a lot of ways, from my time in college to today. And I don't think it makes the decision it harder, because there are people who are giving their opinions on what he should do. But of course, just like all of us, we have to make our decisions based upon what we feel is best for us. And we have a circle of influence that we have around us to be able to give us, you know, a great insight on what we think is best. And then it ultimately comes down to what you, the person, decide. So, you know, for me, I prayed about it. My family, gave insight. But just like I told Kyler, you know, when you make a decision, you know, make it, you know, take your time to do it. But when you do it, you know, don't look back and have no regrets on what it is that you've decided to do.
We're talking to Charlie Ward, former Florida State Seminole star, quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner, former Knick in the NBA, doing great things with the Charlie Ward Family Foundation. We'll get to that momentarily. Charlie, I can't believe, you know, this year it's going to be 26 years. You know, it was 25 years ago, you know, game of the century, 93, South Bend, Indiana. Really, there are certain college games where if you're a college football fan, you remember where you were. I remember where I was. I was at my dad's house in Blauvelt, New York, getting ready for that game. Game day, went on the road for the first time on ESPN. I mean, it was an unbelievable atmosphere in South Bend. Your team was loaded. Derek Brooks, yourself, Warrick Dunn. I mean, that Florida State Notre Dame game.
Unbelievable.
Did you think at the time, I mean, going into the game, you were riding a 16-game winning streak. Notre Dame was riding a 16-game winning streak. Did you realize, I mean, as a young college athlete, when you stepped on the field, did you realize how big of a game that was at the time?
Well, it definitely hyped it up, because NBC, you know, it was a game of the century, they were calling it. And so, you know, a lot of people watched it, which was, you know, great for, you know, both teams. And, of course, the game didn't turn out in our favor, but it was a great game to watch. You know, we were down double digits early on and late. And so we were able to rally to give ourselves an opportunity to win the game in the end. And now, we had played in a lot of games very similar to that, because we, of course, play every year. We play University of Miami, and those are big games with a lot of athletes on the field. And we played them home and away. So we were accustomed to that type of environment. But one of the things we were, you know, anxious to be a part of was, you know, just the mystique of Notre Dame, because we hadn't played them in quite a while. And, you know, playing in South Bend, you know, just the traditions that they had. So, you know, that was the most intriguing part, I know, as far as for myself going up there. And we were prepared and ready, but we just weren't able to pull it out.
Charlie, let me ask you, man, let's shift over to the NBA real quick. I got to get your thoughts on this. You're rooting for the Knicks to draft the big kid out of Duke, Zion Williamson. What do you think?
He's a very good basketball player, and wherever he goes, whoever they choose, I'm sure they will pick the right fit for their team. I know they've done some shifting with Porzingis and some other people, but they've got, you know, hopefully they got a point guard that they feel comfortable with, and Dennis Smith Jr., that they can, you know, put their money on. You know, moving forward, he's a young player that's, you know, very good, very dynamic player. So hopefully they can continue to add some younger talent. But more importantly, if they're trying to make a move within the next couple of years, they're going to need to have some veteran leadership on that team. So I know DeAndre has been playing well from what I've seen. So I'm not sure if he's the veteran. One of the veteran pieces, along with you know, some other max players that are, I think they're trying to clear out some space for. So hopefully they can get a couple of free agents to buy into, you know, the youth movement to be able to help them move forward. And, you know, Coach Fitz, I know he'll do a great job of coaching, you know, the talent that he has. But just like any coach, you know, you have to work with what you have.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, he can get some veteran guys that he can work with, and they can, you know, get back to where we were 20 years ago, seems like. But it's been a
Charlie,
while.
Charlie, for a Knicks fan, it feels like about 60 years ago. We missed the day. I mean, Charlie, it's been a long 20 years. I'll tell you that, Charlie. It feels like it's been like dog years. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Wow.
Charlie, tell us a little bit about what you're doing here, because, I mean, you were one of the great two sports stars, but, I mean, a classy man, great individual. You know, tell us a little bit about your work with your foundation.
Well, we're currently, you know, I'm coaching high school basketball down here in Tallahassee, and I'm just preparing for our team. We play tomorrow, our first playoff game in about 6 years here, and so we have a legit chance, young team, but they're doing great things. Our foundation, you know, essentially we're here to help support the local youth groups and just organizations that we've supported over the years. And that's what our foundation does, and currently have a book out called The Athlete that helps support, you know, our philanthropic desires or needs as far as helping the young people and organizations. And so it's been going well, the book. And I've been doing some speaking as well around the country, sharing my story. But our foundation, you know, is something to be able to help others. That's the main goal. That's something that we've always done, my wife and I, for the past, since we've been married, 23 years ago, we've always been wanting and willing to give back to our communities. And so that's what our family foundation does.
Well, Charlie, it is great work. We enjoyed watching you in the NBA college at Florida State, and continued success and continued great work in your outreach into the community. And good luck in the playoff game tomorrow night, all right?
Thanks, Charlie.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Charlie Ward, Charlie Ward Family Foundation, doing very good work down there in Tallahassee.
Yes, absolutely.
And Heisman Trophy winner, national champ, bringing that school its first national championship, helped deliver that for Bobby Bowden. You know, great moment. I mean, and that 93 Notre Dame Florida State.
I remember that game, dude. That was nuts.
I remember where you were. I mean, that was one of those games that, you know, lived up. It was great atmosphere. Great Notre Dame team, great Florida State team. Fun times. It really was.
Absolutely.
Come back. We've got the undercard for you. The stories we missed from today's rundown. That's on your way next. It's a Wednesday morning. Taz and the Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes. Show is flying by, Moose. Flying by.
It is. It is flying by. Yeah. No question. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Carlos in Albany, Georgia. The David Putty bobblehead giveaway from the New Jersey Devils game is the best giveaway ever, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
The whole thing was great, especially when he took a bump, fell right on his face. Well, that part was fun. No, he's great.
But how about taking off the shirt,
I don't
face
know.
Paint?
In good shape.
Well, good, he's in good he was shape. In great shape for
yeah,
a guy.
Good shape. Fat of Midland.
No, yes. For a guy his age, I mean, he was in great shape. But not only that, I mean, there wasn't one chest hair on the man's body.
Shave Jones,
right? Yeah, waxed.
He waxed it up. Yes. Yeah, no, it was very funny. I definitely saw it. I think I put it out on my Instagram, my personal one. I thought it was great. I didn't know they were doing a bobblehead. I'm nowhere near a Devils fan, but I'll tell you, I would definitely like a Putty bobblehead. That would be pretty funny.
I would like that as well. And then the other thing
Mike,
is,
can you get those?
Did you see his...
Probably not.
His wife painted... They did a jacket. They did like a design of a Devils jacket.
I did not see this.
And Brodeur is going to sign it.
Really?
And then they're going to auction it off.
Oh, that's nice.
For the devil! That's awesome. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day.
Meanwhile, they lost to the Penguins, but
they did.
Who's counting?
Well, they're having a bad year.
Yeah, I know. But it was fun. It was cool.
Right. New York is Islander town.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Come on.
Here we go. The undercard.
Taz and the Moose present The Undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
Hi, Mike.
UNC Duke tonight, always a great rivalry, but now we've got Zion Williamson in the house for the 9 p.m. Eastern game today. The cheapest ticket, this of course not with student section tickets, $2,990 to see Duke and UNC. Would you go into the wallet, take out the credit card, and pay to go to this game?
Nope. Listen.
Not for $3,000.
Me neither. Here's the biggest problem I have, and I wouldn't either. I agree with you. Nowhere near. Okay, they're going to make a lot of it. It's going to be a great game, no doubt about it. I'll be locked in for sure. And it's going to be great. But, dude, like, these athletes are out there playing, and they're not getting a dime. They're going to be making bank. They're going to be making bank in that building, that arena. I'm just saying, it's like, this is the thing. To sell a ticket. That's probably more than it cost to go to the Super Bowl.
The only time you're going to see Zion taking on,
No, I know, but I'm talking about this. I get a little bit like with the athlete not getting paid. The college athlete. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there.
That's what ticks me off.
No, I get it. Listen, they're flat. I mean, you didn't need this exact example, but to know the NCAA and it's...
No, but it jumps out to me with this type of ticket, this type of price.
Yeah, you're having a ticket go for $3,000.
Yeah, come on.
North Carolina Duke in the regular season, no national championship.
Right? Is it the Natty championship? No, right? Exactly.
No.
It's like I understand that's the way it is. That's the rules. I got it.
I totally agree.
I understand.
Those are the rules.
I understand that part. I got it. Yes. Okay. Next.
Portland Trail Blazers star guard Damian Lillard spoke to Yahoo Sports, and he said, "Quote: I'm not willing to sell myself out for a championship." He's not into the super teams. What do you make of Lillard not wanting to team up and doing it the old school Charlie Ward way?
That's right. I respect it. I like it. I think what he said is awe-inspiring. I think I hope a lot of young players hear what he said, what Lillard said. I think I heard the actual audio of him saying it. It was pretty cool what he said there. And it's definitely, he's in the minority of what you're hearing out of players, out of pro athletes in general.
They're looking to go bigger, better, go someplace else.
It's about the relationships he's making and about playing in that town, Portland. It's just really, really cool. It was a really cool sound. And what he said, very cool. I respect
food city.
Oh, yes. A lot of good beer, too.
Yeah.
A lot of good beer.
A lot of IPAs.
A lot of good beer.
Very hoppy.
Love it. Hop City Jones. That's right. Yes. Oh, what else you got here?
I can't believe they just did that. Wow.
In the not surprising department, Khloe Kardashian splits with Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, after?
For allegedly cheating with Kylie's BFF.
Right.
Wow. Your shock level.
Not shocked. Whatsoever.
Yeah, I would say negative two, 10 being the highest.
There's no shock.
And there's
number
also,
one,
for me,
I
no
mean,
care. I really don't care. I don't.
Right. This is the same guy who was, when she was pregnant, was out making out with two women at a nightclub.
On a couch.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
As one of them put his face in her bosom.
Whoa, watch that.
That's true.
Leave a mark.
That did happen.
Yeah, I know.
And then, could I be surprised by this? No.
No.
Did you see Kylie's friend, by the way?
No, I did not.
Very attractive.
Shocking. Yes. It's, I'm not surprised.
I love sports.
I understand. This is the NBA. It just keeps on giving.
I know.
And the Kardashians, they keep on giving.
The Kardashians, it's think about this. I mean, how did they catch him, by the way?
Oh, everybody's
good question.
In the
cell
act,
phone,
in the act,
everywhere.
Social
following
media.
Trevor Bauer's rules, apparently.
There was like a report that there was a story that basically after Thompson and Kylie's best friend like hooked up, that she was hanging out with Kylie like 5 hours later.
He's just like, really, what is going on? People are unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Does anybody have any scruples anymore?
No. By the way, I saw Bob Dwyer. I was heating up my egg sandwich.
Bob Dwyer.
And it was, he was like, what's going on over there?
Really?
Yeah, he's like, you got to get your house in order. I go,
got to get your house in order.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I said, guys are putting out, you're putting out polls. Listen, we'll swap. We'll take Recco. You can take Bogish.
Get your house in order.
A fair trade.
I used to like Bobby. No, I might have to ice him out too. No, I like him. I'm teased. Bob's about the only guy I like over there. I like Boomer.
He's a guy.
I like Boomer. I used to like Al. I like Eddie.
I like those guys.
Yeah, I like everybody. I'm just joking.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
just
it's
teasing.
Their way. Right.
I am. Nope.
It's getting under the skin a little bit.
I got a feeling this is not over.
Probably not. I would say probably not.
You prepared just to go to war, bro?
Yeah.
Are you prepared?
Yeah.
I'm ready to knuckle up.
Get into that trench.
I'm ready to go.
Mike, good job. Pete, fantastic.
Thank you.
Everyone else.
Andrew, Midland. Too. Andrew Bogus, thank you.
Not fair. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.